Well, good morning and welcome to our live stream service here on Sunday, the 28th of June. Feels like we've been doing this for a long time now, doesn't it? But it's great to have so many people connect in with us. And this is our collective expression of church. It's not the only expression of church, but this is our focal point for the week, as Sunday mornings have been for generations in this building and in Christianity as well. Sunday's a significant day. So we gather this morning to acknowledge that God is present with us every morning, not just here in Sunday morning. And God is present with us whether we're in the church building or whether we're at home. And we're going to be thinking a lot about home this morning and reflecting and understanding what we understand home to be. So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit later. If you have a prayer request, and we'd love to gather them together at the end of the service as another collective way of us expressing who we are and what we care about as a fellowship. So please do put a line in the comments, mark it prayer request. Penny's been using capital letters, which is really helpful. So let's make them really bold so we know what the prayer requests are. And then I'll do my best to bring them all together at the end of the service. So thank you for those who do put prayer requests in on a Sunday morning. Have you got children with you? And when Diana and Clive are talking, after that, there's a little sheet that you can download. It's on the website now. And it's going to be focusing a little bit on home as well. So there's a little sheet there for you to have a look at. We'd love for you to stay around after the service and have a virtual cup of coffee. If you're a regular, please do join us. If you've never joined us for coffee and you would like to, either follow the link that's sent out in Not the Link, our weekly newsletter, or put it in the comments and we'll send you the link so you can join us for coffee after the service. This evening, Bismarck will be hosting our prayer evening at 8 o'clock, and he's going to be welcoming Chris Jenkin, who's going to share a little bit about the homelessness work and the projects in Cambridge. So this morning we're thinking about home, and this evening we're thinking about homelessness. So two parts of the similar conversation there. So please do join us at 8 p.m. this evening, and Bismarck will be leading that time with us. I'd love to pray for us as a church. And then I'm going to hand over to Sarah, who's going to open our time of worship. So let's just pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you for the technology that we have, that we're able to do this, that even though we're scattered as church, we're still gathered as church. I pray that your Spirit would speak to us, would guide us, would convict us, would encourage us, and would challenge us and change us. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for all those who connect in with us, and I pray that we would be mindful of understanding what it means to be community in these new times. I pray that you will bless our time this morning. Amen. Over to Sarah. Thank you, Sarah.
Good morning. Thank you.
thank you, Sarah, for leading us in worship, or opening our worship here this morning. Over these last few weeks, we've been having conversations with different people. I've gone to people's gardens and I've recorded conversations on Zoom. This week, I had a conversation with Janet Jefferson, and we're going to show that video now. It was recorded a little bit earlier this week. So let's listen to Janet and myself as we have a chat about what the implications of lockdown and how she's coped with that. So let's hear from Janet now.
Well, it's great to have Janet with us this morning, and we've had a great opportunity over these last weeks to have some conversations with people. Unfortunately, we weren't able to be in the same garden, but we're still blessed by using Zoom. So, Janet, what's been the biggest challenge for you over these last 3 months?
Okay, well, in the early days of lockdown, and it wasn't your early days because we didn't get home until the 12th of April, coming back to a very silent country, and the sense that staying at home really just wasn't quite enough. Very much aware of the fact that people needed help in lots of ways, but I couldn't go out and I couldn't get involved, and I found that very hard.
Hmm. That's a really interesting reflection about some of your own limitations and your own sort of time. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. The news about that came on the television about the numbers of the deaths and the sadness and the people under pressure and the difficult choices they had to make, that was very, very hard.
So you were in kind of a unique situation where you were on, for those who don't know, Janet and Colin were on a cruise at the time. So they were sailing the oceans and came back, you know, having been in the country been in lockdown for a few weeks. So
it's
a little bit unique in that way.
It was very unique. It was a strange atmosphere in Southampton. The motorways from Southampton up to Sawston were just so empty. The sky was blue, but there was this strange silence everywhere. Mm. Yes, that was very strange. And I think we realised that for a lot of people, they'd had a very, very bad 3 weeks, because there were messages coming through that you couldn't go shopping or that you couldn't get online shopping slots. And people were sending me messages saying, it's going to be frightening when you get home. And it wasn't quite as frightening as we thought it would be, but it was strange.
So that's some of your challenges. What's been the biggest blessing to you over the last three months?
Okay, well, I'm not too sure quite how I would have filled my days unless I'd had my sewing machine.
Right.
And to me, to be able to sew is a treat. It's something I really enjoy doing. And a friend invited me to join a group in Sawston that was sewing scrubs for the Royal Papworth Hospital. So I said yes and made some strange scrubs with pictures of cute poodles on them. Others, it was obvious that people were cutting up their duvet covers. But at least I felt I was doing something to help somebody. When that finished, I've been making masks, and I've also finished off a few projects that I started some time ago.
Well, it's really interesting how that hobby of yours, you know, you were able to have some time to give to it and to feel that also you could bless others with your energies and your efforts, which is a really positive thing, isn't it?
Yes. I think another blessing has been sort of the ability or the permission to stay at home. Or to go out for a walk, which I've enjoyed and felt very blessed that where we are in Sawston, we can go for little walks where we don't go through shopping centres or housing estates, that there have been some very pretty walks that we've discovered. And I think one thing has been that the empty diary hasn't been frightening.
Well, there you go, because we all respond differently to free time, don't we, and not doing things. And it's a challenge, I think, to many of us not to have stuff to do because we're so busy. Often. Janet, thank you so much for sharing those kind of challenges and blessings. We'd love for you to pray for our church this morning.
Okay, well, I'll just start with reading Psalm 91, verse 1. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. We pray for the ones in the background, the ones who say that they're only doing their job. Bless them, Lord Jesus. For the NHS frontline workers, doctors, nurses, cleaners, and hospital staff. Bless them, Lord Jesus. For family members and friends who are struggling with the circumstances they find themselves in. Bless them, Lord Jesus. For politicians, decision makers, advisors, and those in authority. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Janet, it's been lovely to have you join us this morning. And God bless to you and to Colin as well. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks then. Bye.
Well, it was lovely to catch up with Janet earlier on that week. And thank you, Janet, for sharing your thoughts and reflections and for leading the church in prayer. It's lovely to have that opportunity to share with you. Now, Dinah and Clive, they're going to share something on the theme of home. So let's have a listen to their conversation. So over to Dinah and Clive.
Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? We hope you've all had a good week. You're very excited. Why is that? Did I know it's been 30? Are you talking about lockdown? You've been at home for 13 weeks, but soon you'll be able to go on holiday. You've been getting really homesick. What do you mean? Sick of being at home? Surely not. Don't you like being at home with me? You want to go somewhere else for a holiday? Somewhere where there's mountains and a river and trees in a jungle. Well, how long do you want to go away for? About a month. No, you think you'd get homesick? Sick for home, you mean? Perhaps just 3 weeks. Well, maybe two. Or if I don't go with you, just one. Holidays are nice, but you miss home, and you miss me. And you miss cake. Can't you get cake on holiday? Not in the jungle. I wonder if any of you who are watching have ever felt homesick. And what is it about home that makes it seem so special? You think it's people. People you love. A place where you feel safe and secure. Full of familiar objects. Things you love. Love is a good word to describe it. Home is a place you love to be. Because there are people you love and things you love. But it's not necessarily a house. No, not necessarily. Did you know that there's an old English proverb that says, home is where the heart is? And Jesus said that our heart will be where our treasure is. So it's all about love. What we love is our treasure. Yes. So we should consider having a treasure that will last. Not like cake then. No, With you around, cake doesn't last very long at all. Jesus said we should build up our treasure in heaven, where it will last. You wonder if there is cake in heaven. Then it would last. Well, maybe. But what I think is most exciting is that for Jesus, we are his treasure, and he keeps us in his heart because he loves us so much. And when we love him too, it's like coming home to the place where we were always meant to be. But it's time for us to go now. And we're going to finish the children's activity sheet from the website. Here it is. You have to find all the hidden objects in the picture. Some of them are really difficult to find. Yes, they are. They're hidden very cleverly. I wonder if you can find them all. And when you've found them, you can colour the picture. And when we've done that, can we have cake? Because it won't last. Yes, we'll have cake. People will think we do nothing but eat cake. But let's say goodbye. So goodbye, everyone, and we'll see you again soon. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Well, thank you, Diana and Clive, for sharing those thoughts. I want us to think a little bit about home this morning and what we understand by that. I think it would probably depend who you asked. So if I asked a refugee how they would understand home, they would probably think very differently to the average resident of Great Shelford or Sawston. For a while, when I was a teenager, I worked in the favelas of Sao Paulo. I went on mission there for half a year. And many of the people's homes there, we would probably consider just a shed or a poorly built garage. Home, then, has different connotations for different people. I wonder what you think of when I say home. Where does your mind go? Is it one place? Is it one building that you think of? Is it many buildings, many homes that you've had over your life? Is it a place of peace? Or has it felt more like a prison over these last few months? Is it a full place? Or is it an empty place? Is it a pleasure or a burden? We all have different thoughts, and our mind goes to different places when we hear the term home and how we might understand home. However we experience it, we've all spent more time there over the last few months. Homes have changed into makeshift offices, schoolrooms. They can, like I've said, feel like a prison cell or paradise, depending on maybe what time of the day it is. This morning we're thinking about home, and this evening we're thinking about homelessness in more detail. I want us to reflect on the place of home in our walk with God. As we've left this church building, and me and Toby, the only ones left in here, we've found ourselves being church or doing church in our homes. Homes have become our churches to a certain extent. When we look at scripture, the Bible has many examples of place of home and of homelessness. The nation of Israel wandered in the desert. Home was somewhere over there promised to them, but just out of reach. So when they made it to the promised land, land and where they built had great value. When they were in exile, they would walk on that. They wouldn't walk on that ground again. They were sent away from that promised land to someone else. Jesus, during his early years of his ministry, had a home and a family, only to leave that behind and wander without anywhere to call his home for his 3 years of ministry. The comfort we take from home, a place of safety, but maybe doesn't always feel secure, a place of peace, if not always quiet, a place of rest, if not always full of activity, place of warmth, if not always full of love, a place of family, if they're not always present. Home and place is an important part of being human. Neil and I have been reading a book. We often read a book together, and it's a book called Abiding by Ben Quash. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And he talks a little bit about home and being present in home. I'll do my best just to paraphrase some of his thinking. And he talks about New Testament and Old Testament being riddled with language of home, but drenched in experience of exile. They talked a lot about being home, but their experience often was being in exile, being away from home. It's the biblical paradigm of men and women of God who has no home or soil to stand on and only God's unchanging nature to cling to. We see this embodied again and again in the expulsion of Adam and Eve, onwards to Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Ruth, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, right the way through the book of Revelation. Home is where the Lord is. Again and again we hear this rift. Home is where God is. Which, if it means everywhere, also means nowhere. For there's no specific place to lay your head that is in itself fixed and permanent and right. We're all in some sort of exile in some way or another. It may not be that peculiar to understand why the Bible talked about home so much. Because if you go without food, you think about being hungry all the time. And the Bible circles around endlessly around home when home is so elusive to the people of that story, from Israel to Jesus to the early church. Home is not quite the obvious place. But what we find in some parts is this paradox in Scripture. They say that God's people have what they long for in not having it. Ben in the book talks a lot about this. We have what we long for by not having it. They have it in one way, but not in another. They are home when they're in exile, not just afterwards. So there's something about home that isn't a geographical place that goes with us, whether we're in one place or in exile, and we see that in Scripture. We need to learn how to hold those two things in tension, at home and in exile in some ways. Our thinking around home, maybe when I said what you thought about home, maybe your brain went to lots of different places, because home is a place of change. It doesn't stay the same, does it? Babies are born, teenagers fly off to university, mortgages are taken out, only for those houses to be sold for a care home payment. Downsizing, climbing the property ladder, those short-term tenancies when you know what it feels like to have a landlord kick you out, house fires and burglaries. Home is not a static thing. It's estimated that 20% of the world's population are without adequate housing. That's 1.6 billion people don't have proper buildings to call their home. What we think of as stable is, in fact, just fast or slow shifting sands. We all build our houses on sand. Israel went on a journey from home to captivity to freedom to exile. Then Jesus came back to show us what home really was all about. It's just another part of the journey. It has value, but these walls that house someone else, in the end, it's not static. Everything will change. There's some reference to Ecclesiastes in that. There's nothing new under the sun. Things change. But if we understand this great narrative of Scripture that says home is where the Lord is, whether we're in plenty or in poverty, the status that we put on the building that we live in God's eyes, is worth nothing. It's the journey we walk. That's our home. We also walk this earth knowing that in one day it will be renewed. Scripture talks about the new heaven and the new earth. Everything will be made perfect in God's eyes. This poverty and brokenness that infects our world will be no more. And the love we see will be the love everyone sees. We need to understand that we're at home, whether we're at home or in exile with God. It's the journey with God. because we're strangers in a strange land. I don't know if you ever feel that way. I pray that we would value, ultimately, in understanding the place of home, we would value what God values. We're home, but we're not quite home in this world. Let us be people who find our home fixed in the place of God, not in the building that we live in, or the church building either. We are exiled from this church building at the moment, but we're not exiled from God. God is with us, even though we're not gathered in this place. If our home is where the Lord is, our home is our walk with God then, isn't it? And just as we understand when we come in this building, it's our own personal responsibility to walk with God. Even now, it's more so a reminder that these houses that we're in doing church, it's our personal responsibility to walk with God in this life. It's our personal responsibility to walk in the adventure that we're faced with. I can't do that for you. We will have to do it personally. And we're disturbed at the moment because we're on shifting sands. Things aren't the same. So let us walk this journey together, wherever it might take us. So I wonder now, I will just take a moment to think about home, to think about your home and your journey. And I just want to say, if your journey with God is going great and you love getting up in the morning and you love praying and you love reading scripture, that's great. If you're just clinging on, if you're just throughout the day just clinging on to God in those points of desperation, then well done. Our journey with God is a personal journey, and it's our responsibility to have that journey. There's no point in us comparing what we do with what someone else does. We're to be home, to be where God is in this world. I leave you those thoughts this morning. Sarah is going to close our time of worship by singing our leading us in worship as she sings, "Here is love vast as the ocean." Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah, and we appreciate, Sarah, for you leading us so well this morning. We've had a few prayer requests, so I'd love to lead the church in prayer this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray for, specifically all the prayer requests are around these challenging times and maybe the uncertainty we feel in the easing of lockdown and how, even though it's been difficult, many of us have got used to the restrictions and the limitations and will struggle to adapt to this new way of doing things. We pray for those who are concerned about the easing in lockdown. We pray for the young people who are either having to leave university or finish university now in what feels like a bit of a frustrating end, to those concerned about next year and what uni would look like. Pray for our children as the government have announced that they'll all go back in September, whatever that might look like. I pray for our teachers and our families as well. Pray for those who have been shielding, making this extra effort not to come in contact with people and might feel nervous as that comes to an end. And finally, we pray for our homeschoolers, those family members who have had to turn their home life into school life, and the challenges that's been, but also the compounded challenges that that's been when it leads into the summer holidays as well. We pray that there would be an extra blessing on our families in our community and beyond. I'm going to finish by saying a blessing. But before I do that, please do join us for coffee after the service. Starts at 11:30, so you've got a little time to get your coffee ready. And please do join us then. But I'm going to bless, lead us in a blessing. And it's a blessing for our houses. So whether you are watching this at home or in the garden or on a train or wherever you find yourself, it's a blessing for the place that we call home. Lord God, bless this home and those within it. Bless the giving and the receiving. Bless our words and our conversations. Bless our hands and our recreation. Bless our sowing and our growing. Bless our coming and our going. Bless all who enter and all who depart. Bless this house, your peace in part. God bless our church, our community, our gathered community this morning. And I pray that you'd be encouraged. Thank you for putting the effort to connect together, but also to continue to wrestle with your faith with God. It's lovely to hear conversations throughout the week of where people have either overcome struggles or just honest about their struggles. We need to be honest with one another, and it's an encouragement that we're doing that. Bless you this day, and we look forward to connecting again in the coming weeks. God bless.